Welcome to Unity Fort Worth Online. We are a spiritual center of love and wisdom, affirming God's presence in our lives and reaching the larger community in ever-increasing circles of good.
Thank you so much. Very beautiful. And I love that concept, don't you? We're living in the heart of God. It's not like we have a little bit of God inside of us. No, we're actually immersed. We live and move and have our being, as St. Paul said, in the wholeness of God. So therefore, we're literally moving with God. We're moving in God's universe and taking God in directions that God's never been before, because our volition, that's God's delight, you know, to have us move and experience things in unique ways so that we magnify God through our actions. So when you know this, you realize, man, I don't want to live a tawdry, miserable life anymore when I've got this awesome responsibility, this joyous responsibility, right, to live as large as God, you know, to expand myself beyond the limitations of yesterday or this morning. Right? So we're in the expansion business, aren't we? That's what we're doing. Not this expansion, this expansion. Talking about the four yogas today, because I thought it was apropos of our sacred service journey, right? In Hinduism, there are these four classic yoga paths, which are really doorways to the divine. Each one is tooled to our own particular focus, which one resonates with us. So that's one thing I want to ask you as we go through the four, is which of these resonate with you? Because it's probably one or two generally that resonate. There are particular doorways to spiritual understanding. And of course, they're in Sanskrit, but I'm going to translate them. Then they're no big deal. You don't have to be frightened by the language or the concepts, because the concepts are universal. We'll get to Jesus in a minute and ask how many of these he embodied, these four yogas. So the first yoga is Karma Yoga, the yoga of action, right? And then there's Bhakti Yoga, the yoga of devotion and love. And then there's Jnana Yoga, the yoga of knowledge. And then there's Raja Yoga, the yoga of disciplined meditative practices. And really, they sum up the whole of our being, right? Because they involve the physical, the emotional, the mental, and the spiritual. And each one is interconnected with the other. It's not like they're four distinct things. So we may say, oh, that blends with the other one. That's fine. Yes, they do. So let's look at each one and see if they make sense for us. First of all, Karma Yoga, the yoga of selfless action. Now, what's the key word there? Selfless, isn't it? Because so much action is based on results, right? We always want results. If I scratch your back, hopefully you're going to scratch mine, right? And the most of society is based on that premise, right? That what's in it for me kind of thing, yeah. And that's okay. I'm not knocking it. But that's a lower level, right? The higher level, when we're practicing true yoga, when we're practicing true connection with spirit, is beyond rewards. Why? Why don't we need rewards? Because the action itself is the reward, right? That's who we are. I'm willing to do that work just because that's who I am. It's joyous to do it. I don't expect a reward. Now, the thing is, you always will receive something back. But the key is you don't expect it, right? Giving up expectation, it has to come to me in a certain way. The Hindus say work is worship. Interesting, isn't it? No matter how much drudgery is involved with work, it can be worship if you bring a certain attitude towards it, yeah? Like Brother Lawrence, for instance. We're all familiar with Brother Lawrence, 17th century monk, who was not very bright, supposedly. It took him a long time to learn all the daily offices and everything. He ended up with spending more time in the kitchens than he did in the chapel. But he washed up the dishes, made the food to the glory of God, and became enlightened in the process. And there's a wonderful book about it, The Practice of the Presence of God. His work became worship, right? And he found in that simple task. It's yesterday, let's put it this way. Over the summer, we've been busy, and we've left our vegetable garden to become a big mess, and to say the least. And it's got all grass everywhere. It's got these beautiful vines that have this tiny little red flower, but they're choking out the tomatoes. It's a mess. It's not a mess. It's beautiful, right? It's beautiful. Well, there are lots of zinnias, and there are lots of, it is beautiful. But I got the information that we need to get rid of some of the stuff. So we spent a couple of hours. I got a huge pile as a result of that I pulled down. Point is, so I'm trying to get there, trying to get to my point here. My point is, you know, I wasn't looking forward to it, but after a while, it was meditative because it was enjoyable pulling out all those things. And there's a sense of accomplishment just in doing that task. And it felt good to tend the garden, right? It wasn't that, oh my God, I'm going to get a reward now as a result. It was the thing itself was the reward. It was enjoyable. That is what we call bhakti yoga. You know, when you're doing your rightful thing, when you're working, it's almost like it's effortless. Have you noticed this? There's a quality about it. What else when you're in the flow? How would you describe it? Effortless? What's that? Timeless, yes. It's like as if the time just went by, right? It's not a chore anymore. It's natural. There's a peacefulness about it. We're in our kind of sweet spot, as they say. We're feeling good about what is ours to do. Yeah. We don't age, so work harder and harder and harder, and we'll live forever. Is that what you're saying? No, I know what you're saying. We're in the flow, exactly. We're not subject to time and change. That's the whole purpose of yoga, isn't it? Is to get us out of conditionality into eternality, right? We are eternal beings. And when we're in the flow, in this case with karma yoga, with the yoga of work, then we enter that place of stillness and eternality, timeless moment, and everything flows beautifully. Downside to karma yoga is we expect rewards, even though we pretend we don't. Or we get lost in our work. We become obsessive about it, you know. Because part of karma yoga is also understanding that life is play. It's not just about hard work, right? You work hard, but you also play. It's joyous. They call it the play of the Lord, you know. Have fun with this, yes? I mean, if I didn't have fun with the work that I do, I wouldn't do it anymore because, yeah, it's tough sometimes, but there's an inherent joy and playfulness about it, yeah? There's an honor to be serving others, so it's a joyous thing, you know? I'm joyous as I get up here in the morning because I feel that spring in my step. I feel that lightness of heart, and I want to preach. Amen. So that's karma yoga. Now back to yoga, the yoga of devotion. That's where we kind of focus. Oh, bless. You'll be fine. You'll be fine. Back to yoga is the yoga where we focus on a chosen ideal, right? Where we put all our energy into that particular thing or person or divinity. Like, for instance, the focus on Jesus, perhaps, or the Buddha. But there's many other things that we can be devoted to and focused upon. Your chosen ideal. The point is, when you have a total focus on that ideal, you become like that. Yeah, because we know, according to the law of mind action, right? Whatever you focus on is what you eventually become. So we asked at 9:30, what's yours? What's your chosen ideal? Who do you resonate with? Do you have a certain thing or person? Nature. Yeah, that's mine. Definitely nature, because I resonate so clearly and powerfully ever since I was a kid with the trees and with the landscape and with the atmosphere. It's my portal. It's my way in. And I love nature, you know, deep abiding love, devotion for that. And I hate to see when we, you know, we're harsh to our environment because it is sacredly given by God, yes? So nature, huge, isn't it? We were on the lake yesterday and we saw an osprey come by with those huge wings. And it's cool to think in our local environment there are big, big birds like that, you know, living their lives, not controlled by humans, running free. And it inspires us with that same inner freedom because we are one, essentially, with all of nature, right? We're one, we're connected. Anything else? Music? Somebody said their art. Yeah, somebody, I think it was Connie, said it she's become, since she retired, she's become a painter, and she does wonderful artwork. And she said they had her little babies, that she spends so much love and devotion focused on those pieces of art. And I said, is it hard to let them go? And she said, yeah, unless they go to the right person. And I thought, oh, interesting, you know, because we imbue it with such energy and love that we want the other person to appreciate them as well, yeah? Devotion. What's the downside to overmuch devotion to something? It can become exclusive, right? My chosen ideal is better than yours, right? It's that whole Jesus thing, you know, Jesus is the only way.
Obsessive.
Yeah, obsessive. We get too emotional about stuff, right, instead of being grounded. So those are some of the downsides, I think. Bhakti also involves chanting. You know, Melissa, you love doing that kirtan. It involves dance and drumming. Shout out to Tuesday night. There's a drumming circle happening, if you're interested, on Tuesday night at 7. That's another way of being devotional. Freud said this. He said, the two keys to successful living are to practice love and work. So what did he do in that? He combined bhakti, the bhakti of devotion, with the yoga. Bhakti, devotion, with the yoga of karma, bringing them together, right? And some many of us are like that. We can bring the two together. I'm going to tell you my two in a minute. It's not those two. But think about it. Keep thinking about it. Which one resonates for me? So let's back to it. Let's move on to jnana yoga, which is the yoga of knowledge. Now, this is a tough path because it requires us to really pursue our thinking deeper than our just intellect into intuitive knowing, right? So this is the path where we sift between the real and the unreal. I think I'm very much this way because I love reading. You should see my study. I have it piled up so high with books, it freaks Wendy out whenever she walks in there. Because she's trying to put my tea places and there's no place for it and stuff, so I got to clean up. I promised to clean up this week. I've said it in public, so I have to do it now. You can ask me about it next week, yeah. I'll take a photograph, shall I? But, you know, there's a great master named Sri Nagasadatta Maharaj. He lived in the 50s, 60s, 70s in Bombay. Very simple man. He sold cigarettes on the street. He lived in a tiny apartment, and yet he was enlightened, supposedly. And many people would come to him for wisdom. And he was definitely into the wisdom of knowledge. And I would shake people to the core. But he'd cut through all the nonsense to the heart of things. And a lot of people didn't like it, but they went away with a new understanding. And Sri Nagasadatta, like I say, had these interviews, which then they later transcribed into books. One of them, the most famous one, is I Am That, which actually we got some in the bookstore if you're interested. Wonderful book. Somebody I knew one time said that they had trouble sleeping until they bought that book. And then all they do was open it, read for 5 minutes, they were fast asleep. So, folks, it's that kind of book. You'll either love it or it will soothingly take you to sleep. Either way, you can't lose, can you? It's sifting. One of the questions that all the great jnana yogis use is, who am I? You know, who am I? Am I my body? Am I my emotions? I have these things, but they're not me. So we trace it back to who we are in truth, right? And so it's an intellectual endeavor, but it's also a spiritual endeavor. I'm obviously into it. That's one of my paths. But I know some people think, man, that's too abstruse. And that's the downside of the knowledge path, is you get lost in intellectual understanding, right? You lose sight of what's really going on. You also spiritualize your ego if you're not careful, right? Because you know so much. You think you're connected to God, and you are maybe, but you're taking it personally, right? Man, I am so magnificent. Have you ever done that? Have you ever said that to yourself?
Never.
Never. Never. You kidding me? It's the obverse side to, I'm such a miserable son of a gun, right? It's the same thing, really. It's just the other side of the circle. We don't want to be either. We don't want to be a miserable son of a gun, or we don't want to be, I'm so magnificent either. You just want to be ordinary and real, right? That's the goal of all these paths. So That's the third one. Fourth one is Raja Yoga, which means royal way. It's the yoga of systematic discipline. It involves hatha yoga, it involves breathing exercises, it involves meditation. You know, it's the path for those people that want to do a whole system of self-work that leads to, hopefully, enlightenment. The downside of it is it's so complicated, we don't do it. You know, has anybody ever said, oh, I need to go to yoga, I'm going, and then you don't go? So hatha yoga, have you ever done that? I just didn't have the darn time. Okay, that's the downside to the path of Raja Yoga. You know, it's just too many things going on. The other side of it is just inherent laziness, which I think is the biggest hampering on the spiritual path, is laziness, is complacency. You know, whatever. It'll be all right, I'll do it another time, yeah? It's not sin, it's complacency. Because we're all a little bit like that, aren't we? A little bit complacent sometimes? There's total silence on that one, yeah. Just as I thought. Now, question, Jesus, which one was he? Yeah, absolutely, all four. See, this is the wonderful thing about Jesus. He embodied it all, right? He was a whole person, in physical, emotional, mental. I mean, physically, he did amazing miracles. He turned water into wine, yeah. Oh, excuse me. But he did all kinds of wonderful things, you know. He healed so many people, yeah? So obviously a great karma yogi. He was also very devoted to God and devoted to everyone around him, because he even said that, you know. He said, when asked what are the two great commandments, love God and love your neighbor, they're the same thing, he said. So whenever we love God, we love our neighbor. Whenever we love our neighbor, we are loving God, because we are immersed in the heart of God, right? We are one. He was definitely a jnana yoga, a yogi, because, man, he could best the Pharisees in ways that nobody else could. And they were very intellectual. They'd worked it all out. But he could take it to a deeper level. And he was very disciplined. So he had Raja yoga as well. He spent whole days and nights in prayer, yes? He was a disciplined man. So this is why we emulate and lift up Jesus, isn't it? Because what an exemplar of all these paths. Now, I'm going to ask you which one is yours in a second, but before I get to that, I read that there's one word that could describe each path. Let's see if it makes sense. At the karma or action yoga, the word is eradication. Interesting. Eradication. What am I eradicating? What am I eradicating when I'm ego. Selfless service? Okay, ego. Expectations. Anger. See, all kinds of things are coming up, each one valid, right? I'm eradicating the small me so that the large me can take over, right? So that the spirit can be present rather than all my defensive, ego-based aspects of being. So I'm choosing to eradicate those things through selfless service, renouncing them, if you like. All right, back to your devotion, purification. What am I purifying? Not just my body. What particular thing? What would you say? When I'm loving and being devoted, what am I eradicating or am I purifying? My negativity? I think it's my motives. You know, where are my motives? Why am I loving? What am I doing this for? Are my motives pure or impure? In jnana yoga, the word is persuasion. I am persuading the habitual mind that there's a higher way, yeah? That I am more than just my body mind. I am spirit. And so through careful analysis and intellectual vigor and intuitive knowing, I am persuading myself. You know, it takes years to persuade yourself, doesn't it? That you are beautiful, yeah? That you are worthy, that you are a capable, loving, magnificent, not ego magnificent, but spiritually magnificent child of God, yeah? We keep falling back into the old ways, don't we? Yeah, we do, unfortunately. But that's not the truth of us, because when we enter into the truth of us, we notice all is well. It's a timeless, beautiful thing. And then Raja Yoga meditation practice and discipline. The word is confrontation. Interesting. What am I confronting? I'm confronting myself and saying, come on, guy. There's a better way here, right? There's a more wonderful way of approach. Do I have the discipline to follow that path? Okay, here's the question, folks. Which one are you? How many of us are definitely karma yogis? The yoga of action. Only like three. That's why we're having such a hard time filling those slots. I'm not going to affirm that. It's going to be easy, a piece of cake. We're all going to rush there. We're going to sign up. All right. What about Bhakti, the yoga of devotion? How many got that going? Okay. Jhana yoga, the yoga of knowledge, deep into, quite a few of us. And then finally, Raja yoga, the yoga of disciplined, okay. All right. How many are in the category of, I don't know. Hey, let me think about it for a week, okay? You're laying this whole new thing on me now. Wait a minute. You know, I'm definitely yoga in the terms of intellect, because that's my path. All the books in my study will attest to that. But I'm also devotional because I love nature and love other people. I'm in that ministry of doing that. And so those are the two that really appeal to me. You know, balancing intellectual vigor with devotion. Work, I do work hard, but it's not my path. It's not the thing I feel like is mine to connect with. Neither is all this discipline stuff, all this, oh God, that's too much for me. So, you know, those are the two that work for me. So those are the ones I need to emphasize and allow them to be a portal for the divine to flow through us and to us, immersed in that possibility, right? So go away and think about it. See which one is yours, because they can be useful portals into the divine. They can help us deepen our practice and help us live more successful and happy lives. So it is.
Thank you for listening. This ministry is funded through the generous contributions of individuals just like you. If you have found spiritual enrichment here, please visit us online at www.unityfortworth.org and make a donation. We thank you for your contribution and affirm with you, divine love flowing through us blesses and multiplies all that we give and all that we receive.